The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WrestleTalk Radio hits the airwaves to once again revolutionize the world of online sports entertainment.
We're taking over!
From old school...
Hi everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Eric Bischoff.
I'm former WWE superstar Al Snow.
To new school...
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
Hi, this is Chris Deani, TNA Knockout.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Sam Beefcake, TJ Wilson.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
WrestleTalk Radio covers everything you need to know about the world of pro wrestling. Now, step inside the squared circle with your hosts, the Spud Guy.
You can boo me if you want, but you're booing an honest man. A man who tells the truth.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome everyone to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, I am Omega, and as usual on pay-per-view nights, Spud can't join me right away, so I believe we have Will on the line instead, do we not?
That is true. It is I, the answer, William McConnell.
Ah, welcome once again to the show. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Now, I hope you saw the pay-per-view.
I listened.
You listen.
I'm poor. I don't even have cable. Makes me miss Joey Styles. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can listen to Joey through the pay-per-view static, and you still get the whole match just because he calls so much of it so well.
Right, but you get JR and all the other fuckers whose names I can't remember at the moment.
Yeah, talking about the matches that happened an hour ago.
Yeah, right. Or talking about something that happened a week ago when Triple H is standing there with a sledgehammer beating the shit out of somebody.
Right. Yeah, that's WWE philosophy, that the fans have absolutely no memory span.
Right. It's why it always surprises me when they involve continuity. You know what I mean. When they remember something happened.
Oh, right. That thing, you know.
Like, it kind of depresses me. They've not referenced any old Jericho Rey Mysterio feud.
Yeah, that's WWE's ignorance of history, or at least the writers right now.
Now, if Matt Stryker was calling the match, he would have reminded us.
Oh, he might have accidentally called them by their real names, too.
Yeah, true.
Oh, and for the record, thanks for reminding me, Rock. Spud will not be joining me tonight. So,
and that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ah, oh, man. Well, from what I heard, it was the first bash in WWE history that did not consistently suck.
Well, technically it's the first bash ever, but yeah, compared to the Great American Bashes, this is decent. I mean, there's a few matches that don't belong on the card, but I have no problem with it, like I would any Great American Bash.
Man. So many fond memories of the Great American Bash. Ah. Paul Bearer getting buried in cement.
Oh, yeah, because that was such a good idea.
No, Undertaker.
She knew it was going to happen.
God. Great Khali winning the World's Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, God. You see, there are just some memories that I have chosen to let my mind forget.
Katie Vick. And that's enough out of you. Click.
Yeah, Rock, new host. Get another one. No, since this is going to get really boring talking about the matches that only I actually witnessed, I'm going to the phone lines are going to be open up tonight, 267-297-1397. If you saw it and you've got anything to comment on, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, because I couldn't see it, so I'd like some more imagery, please.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it a little hard, especially because I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have been.
Well, it's not your fault. It is the bash.
Yeah, this is true.
So, how do you want to actually tackle this?
Well, we could do it normally and kind of work our way from bottom to top.
Or we can sit here and pray someone actually cares enough to call in.
Well, there's the usual bunch of lunatics. They've all got Rock Skype number, so I'm hoping someone's talkative tonight.
But, right.
Yeah, we can go ahead and start with the opening match here.
Which was what, the scramble match?
ECW scramble match for the championship. Dreamer, Christian, Swagger, Henry, and Finlay.
See, one wasn't so bad. Three in one night. On the bright side, though, aside from Henry, there were at least four guys in this match that aren't that bad.
Yeah, I've got a few issues with them, but... Yeah, this is actually a surprisingly solid match, but it's mostly because everyone in ECW that's worth anything was in this match tonight.
Right. Thank God there was no...
Nothing against the Hart Dynasty or Evan Bourne, but your rookies.
Yeah, you know, they don't want to do what they did with Swagger, have him there for 4 months, and, oh, look, here's the top title in the brand.
Yeah, because now you're kind of stuck with him.
Yeah, which, don't get me wrong, after Swagger's performance against Christian, the night Christian won the ECW title, I've got a little bit of respect for Swagger. That was a pretty solid match, so, you know, he's got the potential, even if he forgets he's a heel when he comes down to the ring.
Yeah, Swagger definitely has a lot of potential. He's got a future in the business, but he's still a little too green around the edges.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait for him to get over that.
So I'm guessing you didn't see this one.
Oh, I saw it. Tuned in a little late for it, but I got the majority.
Right.
Now,
best part of the match, Dreamer wins.
Oh, Dreamer is still the champion.
Thank God. I am so happy Tommy is getting his due.
Yeah, after laying on his back the last 10 years, it's the least they can do.
And drinking toilet water.
Ugh, God. See, here we go again with these memories I've chosen to forget.
I'm sorry, encyclopedias aren't always nice.
Yeah.
That didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Holy shit, that was bad. But you get the gist.
Yeah. How about this? What do you think of the scramble match in general? Like, it's a time limit match. Start with two. How long is it between participants?
So I totally think it's forget. About 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 5 minutes between new participants, and then five more minutes for everyone to try and get one last pinfall. And whoever has gotten the most recent pinfall wins the championship at the end.
Right, and so really you only get a full match. Like, five guys, so like 20 minutes into the match, you can finally get a full match with everyone in there.
Okay, so apparently they shortened it this time, 15 minutes in total for this match.
So what, it was about 3 minutes between each guy?
Yeah, 3 minutes between each guy. I know the last 5 minutes was intact. I never liked this match concept because of that last 5 minutes. No matter what goes on, no matter who's the champion, no matter who's been participating, only the last 5 minutes matter. And the rest
right.
of the match is totally pointless.
It is.
You might as well just have all of them start and go for 15 minutes.
And that's what I would rather see, would be just put them all in the ring, ring the bell, and just go at it for 15 minutes. It's like an Iron Man match where nothing but the last fall counts.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like I said, it's not like the Chamber where, you know, you have to match some of the guys that are standing in there, and then they'll only be in there 5 minutes if you're the last guy. It's, you know, it's still a full match, but this, it's just, I'm kind of torn on the concept, because I like the idea of a bunch of people scrambling to hold on to their belt, and I really liked it, because V. Brian Kendrick was an interim champion, which they've not worked into his gimmick, which makes me really, really sad. But,
well, yeah, interim champion just exists. Basically, you're in limbo. You
right.
are the champion, but you're not. Which is the one thing about this. Finley, Henry, Swagger, and Dreamer all held that belt in the course of that 15 minutes. Christian didn't even get one pinfall.
Really?
Yeah. And he started
that
the match.
Sucks. That's some bullshit.
It's just unfortunate.
Yeah. And of course, ECW getting shafted again. But then again, 20 minutes?
Well, it's the C show, so it's always going to get shafted.
Right. Though, from what I heard, it was a solid match. So,
well, they were smart enough to keep Henry out of it until the last 5 minutes, so I give him credit for that.
Thank God. Henry's best performance was at WrestleMania when he didn't kill Kingston by catching him.
Oh, I'm sure he would have found other ways eventually.
Yeah, really. Just open his mouth.
Yeah.
Baby!
Well, let's see here. Teddy Long. Okay, a lot of people bitching to Teddy Long. I'm just reading like little segments here that happen in between. I don't know why they bothered to do that during a pay-per-view. I don't care about storyline during a pay-per-view. I just want to see long, decent matches.
Right. There's no reason to put in bullshit that no one else is going to see unless
yeah.
you bought the pay-per-view anyways.
Yeah, I don't mind a little bit of comedy thrown in, which there wasn't. I mean, this is the first pay-per-view in a while that didn't have any kind of Santino segment.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. Especially a pay-per-view like this, when you've already got so much that could potentially go wrong, that you need some kind of balance.
And not really,
there.
Santino's gold.
Well, yeah,
he's makes me so sad.
Yeah. Well, usually those little in-between segments where they go, well, we didn't want to book another match, so here's a little comedy for you. Santino makes that work, and usually it doesn't.
Right.
It's usually a waste of time, so I kind of missed that segment this
like,
time.
Like the commercials in the middle of a pay-per-view for other stuff.
Oh, God. Go see this movie with a WWE star in it. You know, it'll be in the discount bin in a month.
hey, this is our next pay-per-view. Why are you doing that? Because we need you to buy this.
Hey, keep in mind, WrestleMania is only 40 weeks away.
More or less. Look, it's SummerSlam. We have no overarching storylines going towards it yet.
It's winter. What the hell?
So, yeah, the end of the scramble match, Tommy Dreamer retains by pinning Christian, who is now being shafted since his ECW reign.
Yep, since Vince hates him.
So depressing. Let's see what. Following that was
Intercontinental Championship Mask versus Belt, Chris Jericho and Rey Mysterio.
Two guys with a lot of history together, way back from when Jericho was a goofy ponytail wearing. And I can't think of any other stuff. After you get to the ponytail, it's just like, wow, is he really wearing his hair like that? And back when Rey Mysterio looked even shorter than he does now, wasn't completely covered in ridiculous tattoos.
No, these two go back to ECW, all the way back to when neither one of them had a personality yet, and Mysterio was in like this purple mask and jumpsuit thing. You know, looking like one of those little grunt villains that the Power Rangers beat up all the time.
Yeah, right. He's a putty patrol.
Something like that, yeah. But not that you would ever hear about any of that history.
No. What? WCW? No.
No, no. This is only the second match I've ever had. Rey Mysterio does not have horns under that mask.
I can't believe that. Ugh. Anyways, the actual match, apparently very high fly.
Yeah.
Well, for Mysterio as usual, Jericho using his usual, I'm heel, so I'm killing everything that made me a fan favorite, so I'm just going to slowly pick you apart.
Well, Jericho, since he's wrestled Mysterio so much, and since he does have that very athletic build to him, he can allow Mysterio to actually do most of the acrobatics and, you know, high-flying moves that he's supposed to be known for.
Right. Because, you know, that's the way Jericho used to work, so Jericho's used to being ready for that stuff, unlike a lot of the bigger guys that they put Mysterio against.
Right, I think this is the first time in a while I've seen Mysterio pull off a really good tornado DDT off of, you know, one of those where he basically uses the opponent's body as like a stripper pole?
Yeah.
See, I've never been able to give that move a proper name or describe it properly, so I just call it the stripper pole DDT.
Yeah, that makes me... I like that. That would be a great move for a diva.
Not that a diva could pull it off, but yeah.
I'm sure there's one out there that the WWE refuses to hire because she doesn't look like a complete slut.
What is that? Only a C cup? Get out of here.
Yeah, really. Are those real?
Nope. Excellent. You'll have a championship in 3 months.
Yeah, really. But Jericho did his thing.
Hold that thought. We have a caller. Who is this?
Who the hell do you think it is?
Spud guy.
Of course. Not here to be on the show. I'm not here to do anything. I'm just here to make a quick announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Due to circumstances that have happened in the past few weeks and the behind-the-scenes bullshit that really nobody else is privy to except a few individuals, and you know who you are, I think it's best for myself and the show Wrestle Talk Radio if I take an extended hiatus from this show. So as of right now, you will no longer be hearing me on Wrestle Talk Radio. I would like to ask Will to take my place in my stead and do this show justice, but for right now, this is not someplace I need to be.
Fair enough. No, it's the first I've heard of it. I mean, I hate to hear that. Yeah, I mean, I joke about it, but I mean...
Well, I'll be here for Otaku Talk Live, and I'll be here for Across the Field, but as of right now, Wrestle Talk Radio, it's not someplace I need to be, and it's garnered too much heat and attention in a bad way, and like I said, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that people aren't privy to that I am, and I'm not going to put myself out there and then get punched in the face for it.
Right.
So, to anybody I offended, I apologize. It's the only time you're going to hear it. Take it for what it's worth. Don't care if you're still offended. But for right now, I'm leaving Wrestle Talk Radio.
Well, that's unfortunate to hear, but it's your decision, man, so...
Well, what can you do?
Well, I hope things cool down to a point where we can...
I'm sure they will, and it's not a smack in the face to Tim or anybody else. It's one of those, look, plain and simple, I stuck my neck out there, I got my head lopped off. So you know what? I can't stick around and continue to get my head lopped off week after week. I'm serving my suspension. I'm, you know, working and doing my stuff. I've got OTL. I've got Across the Field. I'm not leaving the network, but I think Will will do just fine in my stead. Omega knows how to steer the ship. Rock knows where to go, you know, into... To answer just one thing that was said tonight, no, Jeff, it wasn't me forcing this show back. There was a collective of us who knew this show needed to come back. It was at the right time that we did it. So in that, sir, you are wrong. And... So, sorry to bring the mood of the show down. Sorry to ruin people's nights. I apologize. I didn't mean to, you know, take the wind from everybody's sails, but for right now, the Spud guy has left the building.
Yeah. Well, you gotta do what you feel is best. Right, so for the foreseeable future, that was the last of the Spud Guy here on Wrestle Talk Radio. And on that note, how about we take a break before we continue on?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are covering the Bash, and we will be right back.
Vivo la vida peleando pecado. Estados Unidos al otro lado. I'm from Canada, se fue en asolado. Do it for my people, yeah, you gotta love it. Mexican across the stomach, so think nothing of it but love it. Lucha, de la calle a la lucha. Siempre represento con mi chacho cachucha. 619, Simón, that's my cora. San Diego, Puerto Rico, Sinaloa. Puyaca, puyaca, 619. Hey, puyaca, puyaca. Cuidado con los celos porque matan. Puyaca, puyaca, el reggaetón. Mad one en un misterio tan cabrón. 1, 2, 3, it's the boy.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to the end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this.
Shut up. For the drunk Rob Parks.
Why do you think Rob Parks didn't do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everyone who's listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What'd I do?
Right. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spunk...
What's your name, scumbag?
...and DL...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
...go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
That is.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Oh!
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is me, it is Will, it is the formerly great American Bash. And which has never really been that great. Okay, it's the mediocre American Bash.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say, too.
But apparently this one wasn't so bad, so apparently being un-American is a good thing in the pay-per-view market.
Right.
Right.
We all could learn a lesson from Muhammad Hassan.
Oh, God. I was going to go with Lance Storm, but okay.
Yeah, I guess that would work, too.
Well, you got to remember, the genius of Hassan's gimmick was that he was Middle Eastern, but he loved America.
Right. And he was from Detroit, but
he was from Detroit, yeah.
And we're just going to look over that little detail.
I technically don't think he was Middle Eastern either.
He had the... Wait, no, he was Italian, wasn't he?
That was what was going to my head.
Yeah, I think he was Italian. He may have had, like, some in him, but he wasn't what the WWE made him. But whatever, he made the gimmick work. We got an awesome internet... awesome internet meme out of it, but meme, I can't say that word. M-E-M-E. Meme? Meme? Mem? Whatever. Anyway. Wait, didn't Hassan get killed at the Great American Bash?
Huh?
Yeah, wasn't it at the bash that Undertaker killed Hassan?
Didn't. Kill's a little harsh, but...
Well, he may as well have power bombed him into the concrete through the stage.
Oh, that might have been.
See, I'm bringing all sorts of wonderful Bash memories.
Yeah, see, I completely forgotten Great American Bash because they've been that memorable.
Right. JBL's first world title reign over a recorded finish. And... anyways, where were we? Jericho, Ray?
Jericho and Ray, yeah. We're right in the middle of that.
Right, we were talking about their history.
Mm-hmm.
And the things WWE neglects.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match between the two, actually. You know, like I said, they've got so much history, they have to put on a good match at this point.
Probably one of the most solid matches of the night, too. Especially considering what was to follow for a few more.
Yeah, but we're not there yet. So, for everyone not paying attention.
Yeah.
I got background noise. What's that?
That was my sister.
Ah. Apparently, we have a third host here tonight.
No, I'm downstairs making a sandwich.
All right. Anyway.
But, right, Jericho, Ray, solid match, winner of the match, and new IC champ.
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio.
Right, Jericho did succeed in pulling the mask off. He had another mask underneath, like I haven't seen that before.
Hold on. Would you like everyone to hear this? Here.
No, I wouldn't.
what'd you want? Alright, I'll do that after this. Wow, okay. Alright. Alright. I'm not even cooking, I'm making a sandwich. Anyways, new IC champ. Keeping the mask, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, you knew it would go that way.
I'm glad it went that way, too, because I don't want to see Rey without his mask.
Yeah, don't want to see the 12-year-old kid anymore.
Yeah, really, I don't want to see...
Yeah, Dominic looks older than Rey Mysterio does.
He's going to be taller than Rey Mysterio is. Not to mention the horns. What?
Jeez. See, I like having Rey as a champion just so I can say, Well, I've got about, what, 5 or 6 inches and a few pounds over a WWE champion.
All right, if Ray can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, it's inspirational, man. No, they sell way too many of those damn masks to take it off of Ray.
All right, and I just need to be able to do backflips in her and Karana's and all that little stuff to break my neck.
Yeah, but that's all fake. You can teach.
I don't
that.
Know. I don't see strings when he's doing the Hurricanrana.
They CGI that out. See, Rey Mysterio is actually Jackie Chan, and he wire.
That's why he's wearing the mask.
Right. He doesn't want to damage his movie career.
He's really dubbed. There's voiceovers and everything.
Rey Mysterio is a guy named Carl in the back.
The real Rey Mysterio retired when WCW went out of business. Vince bought the gimmick. Figured, hey, I bet I can get celebrities in this mask.
Yeah.
Find me a midget. A tan midget.
We have a caller on the line. Welcome to WTR. Who's this?
Danny. For Jersey, as you guys call me.
She's quiet.
Yeah, you gotta speak up just a little bit.
I know, my mic sucks, I'm sorry, but I do have a little insight for the Rey Mysterio thing.
Go ahead.
The only reason why Rey Mysterio won that match is because basically they shell the shit out of the mask at house shows and pay-per-views and Raws and SmackDowns or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
If they lost the mask, then they would lose the, like, big selling item with the Mexicans.
Yeah, and really, what would Mysterio do afterwards?
Exactly. I mean, they can't sell the horns because Vince McMahon is doing that whole, oh, we're a good group gimmick. We can't sell the horns. So basically, they gotta keep the mask.
That would have been great Boogeyman. Sound like a Pokemon. Boogeyman apparel.
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman, huh?
I never remember that one from the games.
Look, Omega, it's a Boogeyman. I'm going to catch it.
You have to damage it first.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say, so I'm going to kill off now. But I never mind.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, bye.
She is right, though. I mean, WWE has whole warehouses full of vinyl that they would have nothing to do with if they couldn't sell the mask anymore.
I'm sure they would sell it for a little bit longer, but I mean, after that, you know, it's kind of like, well, shit, he doesn't wear this anymore.
Right, right. Yeah,
I like what Mysterio did in the match. Was he was wearing a second mask?
Yeah, but that's not a new idea. I've seen it before.
Right, but you know,
I mean, I even dare say I think I've seen it when was it Bradshaw that was trying to pull the mask off him last time?
I think it was. Yes,
I can remember it happening then.
But it's one of those things that's used sparingly enough so that every time you see it, you go, ooh, that was cool.
Right. It's almost like Rey Mysterio's mask is actually like a Russian doll, whereas he's always got like 3 or 4 under there.
Right. It's a Mysterio in a Mysterio in a Mysterio in a Mysterio.
Well, for a while then, I missed it, if he still does, he came in and he comes down to like hood. That looks exactly like his mask. And he pulls that off, and there's a mask underneath. You pull that off, and there's that little mask underneath. And you pull that off, and his face is painted.
Yeah. He's been giving out those spare masks to kids, too.
It just gets thinner and thinner and thinner.
But, plus, I like that every WrestleMania, Mysterio ends up doing some comic book-related outfit. Yeah, he's been the Flash.
Batman.
He's
Flash.
Batman, Spider-Man, I think.
And this year he was the Joker,
which was bizarre.
And I hated that the match only lasted like a minute. Because I was like, man, that is a badass outfit. Why doesn't he wear that normally?
It's weird. They have a whole crowd full of people cheering for the psychotic lunatic.
Yeah, I bet Vince can't figure out the Batman movie when he went to see it. He's like, why do everybody cheer for this guy? He's a bad guy. I don't get it.
No, Vince would have had to walk out because the storyline makes you think a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
That goes way against Vince McMahon's beliefs.
And the main eventer was wearing a mask.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe like
that's
Mysterio.
Why he Mysterio. He just
and
commercials and masks go, masks are cool now.
He went and saw Batman and he's like, yes!
It's funny about Spider-Man 1, I think.
The Mysterio one?
Oh, no, back when Vince started getting the idea, let's bring in mask guys. Masks.
Oh, yeah. But, what was I going to say? Of course, this is Vince, the same guy who canned Pirate Virgil because he'd never seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates
of, It was a dumb thing. I freaking loved Pirate Virgil. I know.
Swinging
it was amazing.
In, swinging in down to the ramp, throwing treasure out to the crowd. I mean, that was awesome. And that's like his actual heritage, too.
So many good things ruined because Vince is an idiot.
Absolutely.
He's like a Russo. He's genius enough to keep a job.
Vince lost his genius so long ago. He's just egotistical now. Ego eventually replaces genius, so you do have to watch yourself. The most humble people
which it
I've
has
ever
done.
Met. Yeah, the most humble people I've ever met in my life really are the most intelligent and the most brilliant. And that's it's a very true thing, I find. Anyway, this is a wrestling show.
Virtual.
I'm going into philosophy.
All right, yeah, we can't have that.
Oh, God. Yeah, WWE show. No thinking. Match 3.
Stop thinking!
Speaking of not thinking, match 3 is Kali versus Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, God.
Yeah, remember when I said that there's just some matches on this card that I don't feel needed to be on a pay-per-view?
This was one of them.
Yeah, this was one of them. I love the beginning of the match. They held, they did like this whole video package that took a look back on Dolph Ziggler's WWE career, and that filled a good 20 seconds.
Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler.
Bye.
Did it include him getting suspended?
I don't think they publicly acknowledged that one.
He just kind of disappeared. He got bored of introducing himself to everyone on one show.
Well, you see, he got caught by the wellness program because he felt he needed roids to properly introduce himself to everyone.
I gotta get
my hand
up.
My handshake must be firmer.
My testicle shrinks, but I will have the most amazing handshake.
Okay, so no count out, no DQ match. Kali Ziggler. This the only reason this was on pay-per-view was the reintroduction of Kane.
Yay.
Almost. I'm happy to see Kane back. Apparently he's starting a feud with Kali for some reason. And
I've always... Go on.
No, go ahead, because this is going to go somewhere else if I continue.
I've always enjoyed Kane. What makes me sad is that they have never, ever utilized him right.
Yeah.
They did when he first started, when he was The Undertaker's masked, mysterious brother. They did the night he won the WWF title,
because he wore that ridiculous outfit, and the only thing that could really be seen bleeding was his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it went downhill. And he always got these really bad gimmicks. But the guy has to be the most professional guy on the entire roster because he has stuck with it the entire time. And I don't know how he does it.
See, they almost had it. When they did the fake Kane angle, which was horrendous.
Yeah.
They were so close because that could have been a phenomenal angle that really could have been what put him back into the main picture.
Right, and everyone, I don't think there was anyone that actually hated the angle. They hated the ending, how they just kind of brushed it off.
No, well, did you hear the audiences during those matches?
No, I didn't hear the audience.
Yeah, that's because they were totally silent. No one gave a rat's ass. They didn't even care enough to boo. And the problem was that, you see, a masked guy comes in. You know, he's got the size of the old Kane. He's got the exact same mannerisms. And he's dead on. I mean, the guy they got doing that angle was great. But as soon as he came out, the first thing Kane said was, "No, I know him. That was a kid in my neighborhood who was even more twisted than I was." And everyone goes, "What? Fuck off."
Yeah, really.
The whole point of your character is that you've been sick and twisted to the nth degree your entire life. And now there's just, some kid dressing up as me? The whole point should have been, this is a mystery. The whole point should have been, I don't know if even I'm the real Kane. The point should have been Paul Bearer coming in, "You're not my son, you took his identity. Everyone knows my son is scarred, can't speak. Everyone knows my son is, you know..." It gets me frustrated. Like, I really don't even like going into it just because there's just so many ways that could have been an awesome angle and they just completely buried it in the first week.
So you must really hate the fact that he's getting to feud with Kali. Again.
Oh, yeah. Because the Kali's been so great. Because let's remember another great American Bash memory. Punjabi Prison.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of the worst gimmick matches of all time.
He wasn't even in the match, was he? Didn't he have, like, some liver problem?
Yeah, he had elevated enzymes, which, like, half of the people on the trip to India South America. I won't say it's South America or South Africa. You can see how great my memory is here.
I really follow this stuff.
Hey,
it's better than me. I didn't even remember there was a trip.
Yeah, they went on an overseas tour and like, a ton of people on the roster had elevated enzymes. It was from something they ate or, you know, like if anyone was dumb enough to drink the local water.
Montezuma's revenge!
Well, it's not even like Montezuma. It's just things in everyone's water all around the world that they are used to, but a foreigner is not. You know, because the same thing happens in Russia. I've had people that went to Russia for like a week and they had the local water and, you know, they had the exact, you know, they had Montezuma's revenge. They weren't even near Montezuma. Anyway.
And of course, we all seen how that little debacle turned out. No one had any problems. They were just like, it was water.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we had Punjabi Prison, which ended up being Batista and Henry.
I thought it was Big Show replaced Kali against The Undertaker.
All right. Yeah.
The point is, it was a bad match.
Bad match. And guess what?
What
is the plan for this one? for this feud.
No.
Yeah, Kane and Poor Great Khali, Punjabi prison match. That's the rumor right now.
And God. Let's just get off this subject. By the way, the winner was Ziggler.
Yeah, because there's no DQ. Kane came in, beat the shit out of Khali with a steel chair, and Ziggler just kind of picked up the scraps.
Which is the way they should have done it to begin with. Yeah, except for the fact this is going to go somewhere.
Not to anywhere good.
No, not... Oh, God.
We're so looking forward to this.
I know, we're so positive.
Like, no, Khali's actually in this one. It might be good. Maybe.
All right, let's see. Following this useless match was... there was some shit by McMahon. He's something about greatly as his GMs.
Yeah. See, before this, we had two Canadians whining to Teddy Long over being screwed when they pretty much got screwed by staying on the mat for 3 seconds. but they're heels, so, of course, it was unfair. So we ended up getting Unified Tag Team Championship match changed to the Colons, see, it's hard to pronounce the last
Colons.
Name. Colons. Yeah. It's hard for me to read their names without saying colon.
Yeah.
It was Carlito and Primo versus Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr., formerly known as Priceless. They're apparently not doing that anymore. And Edge and Chris Jericho. This is called running out of ideas.
I understand Edge and Jericho are great workers. But there was no reason for this.
No. Not in the least.
The only positive that comes out of this is it puts the tag titles in a high profile now. That's it.
Which they should be, considering the tag team championship consists of 4 belts right now.
Yeah, really. But I wanted to see Priceless win this. Or, excuse me, Legacy win this. Because Primo and Carlito, what were they doing? Exactly. Nothing.
Primo, no, Primo and Carlito have been decent characters. They just haven't had a storyline to follow for a while. I mean, they had the Bella twins, but then they split those two up, which was... See, I'm still lost in the draft shuffle here. Because I want to say the Bellas are both on the same show still, and part of me's going
away. I think they are, yeah. I think they both got drafted to Raw.
Yeah, they're back on Raw. So, let's see.
But I wanted to see Legacy win this because they're one team. It looks like they want to Legacy to be the new big power stable.
Yeah.
And every good power stable has always had that one run where they had
all the belts.
Gold on all the guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have another caller joining us, and it is none other than Nick from the other half of WTR.
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Hey.
We're recovering from the bash.
Recovering. Okay, firstly, I'd like to update you guys. Both the Bella Twins are on the SmackDown brand, and they're ignoring the entire storyline of them feuding.
Wait, weren't they... On SmackDown?
Sorry, they're both on Raw.
Yeah. Were they?
Yeah, they're both on the same brand.
Oh, wow,
but,
that shows...
The reason I call is because I actually think that the reason that they've done this is because if you look at it, Jericho's character, now the storyline with Mysterio has ended, so you don't really know what to do with him anymore. Edge needs to be out of the World Heavyweight title picture. He's been there too long. His heat is genuine, not heel. genuinely hate him. He's been over-pushed in that direction way too much. And having them as a team create something, it would be a very strong heel team.
Well, you got a point there, and I can agree. But at the same time, there's two other objectives here. Number one is the next pay-per-view is the Night of Champions. And they do need an excuse to put Edge and Jericho both on the card. So it's cheap to give them the tag belts, but it does guarantee that they will be there. And the other one seems to have been to turn Teddy Long heel, because he went complete 180 tonight.
They need to do it. His character's too dry. It worked.
No, but I always liked them thugging and bugging.
See, I liked having the one fun GM that I can count on, because all the GMs are freaking heels.
Right, Heyman, Guerrero, Bischoff,
yeah.
Adam Ali was just incompetent.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he was face or heel. He was just intolerable.
He was pitiful.
Yeah. I think Stephanie was a face GM, but, I mean,
yeah, she was interim on the roster. She didn't last very long.
Well,
she was the original one on SmackDown. I much preferred her run on Raw, though.
Yeah, that's true. And they looked like they were going somewhere with that, but...
To be honest, I think you need a heel GM.
You do, but you also need a face GM to balance it out. That's what I liked when they had, was it Bischoff still? Then whoever was opposite of Long when he was doing his first run on SmackDown as GM, because he was originally a heel character at the time. He gets promoted to GM, and he turns into this really cool face GM, and it countered out the fact that the GM on the other show was always favoring the heels. You had the GM on SmackDown who always put the heels in their place.
Yeah, I kind of like, especially on a heel-dominated show, which SmackDown was for a while, especially with Edge as the champion. It was,
well, if you look at it now, Punk is obviously turning heel.
Yeah.
So your top few guys now are heels.
Yeah, I don't think you need a heel GM there. You need a face to keep them all in line. You know, otherwise, all the heels get their way all the time. You know, same way Jericho and Edge got put into another championship match tonight. You know, they whine, they got their way.
It's really what made the whole evolution angle almost sickening, because they'd just go to Bischoff. Bischoff would be like, yeah, your heels, whatever. And it would just be like, oh, God.
Right.
But the reason why I called, and I'll let you guys go after saying this, is... WWE needed to do something with its tag team titles and tag team divisions. Because let's face it, they're walking around with as many titles as teams that they've got. You've got one team on ECW being the Hart Dynasty, who doesn't get to tag all that much. If you look at all their matches, they've all been singles or had somebody extra thrown into the mix.
Well, if you put a tag team match on ECW, you've blown half the roster right there.
Yeah, but the whole point is the champions are supposed to be able to travel between the three brands. And at the moment, in my mind, ECW is probably one of the best shows to watch.
That's why I liked Miz and Morrison as a team. They were on ECW, yet they were the hardest working team because they ended up on every show all week. And they put the belts on them, and they made the tag titles look important.
To be honest,
you wanted to see what they were going to do.
In 2020 hindsight, you could tell that they'd obviously did it so that they could give Morrison the push and put him in World Heavyweight Championship view. Because in my mind, in the next 6 months, I see Morrison facing off against Punk for the World Heavyweight title, for the ECW title. Back in 07.
Possibly. I'm
I'd like to see Morrison get a IC title run under his belt first. Well, no, he did all that on Raw. Then they put him on ECW, and where he became the face of it. So, I guess I can see that happening. There is a built-in feud there now that Morrison is face and heel is going Punk.
And
heel is going Punk. Punk is going heel. Excuse me.
Oh, and you've got to give Morrison credit, just because he has really been able to turn his character around. I mean, you could tell he's a lot better off having ditched Miz. Anywho, boys, I'd better let you go. Good luck with the rest of the show.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
TNA next week.
Yeah, the TNA show, Nick and Mace. The all Aussie cast. Yay. All right, with that said, new unified tag champs, Edge and Chris Jericho, they're going to Night of Champions, and we are going to our next commercial break. We're about to. All right, never mind. I can wait.
All right, you hear the music playing. You're listening to WTR covering the formerly Great American Bash. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Tim Stein here to tell you about our current contest. We call it Show Us Your WTR. If you do, you can win.
Kick ass, dude!
All you have to do is take a photo of yourself, family, or friends holding a Wild Talk Radio sign.
Oh, righty then.
Then send it in to us.
You've got mail.
You bastard!
Once we receive your photo, you are automatically entered to win a DVD of your choice.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
All entries will be eligible for our grand prize drawing at the end of the contest period. Grand prize to be announced at a later date. Great weekly programming here at Wild Talk Radio, totally free for the listening. Plus now, we are paying you for being loyal fans.
Holy crap, dude!
Be as creative as you want with your pictures. Just make sure you send them to admin@wildtalkradio.com as soon as possible.
No!
And ladies, if you want to write Wild Talk Radio across your chest and snap a pic, you win automatically.
Swing!
We're just nice people that way. Just make sure you are at least the age of majority so nobody gets in trouble. Just dirty looks.
OB.
Yeah. If you ladies do choose this option, include your DVD choice when you send the photo. And you don't have to show your face if you feel brave enough to send this pic.
Does this seem weird?
Hey, it pays to listen to Wild Talk Radio.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, Servant of Corn from Otaku Talk Live. Remember to listen in every Tuesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And remember, blood for the blood gods and skulls for the skull throne.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere.
the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan. The quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Damn that Swagger theme.
Yeah, that throws you off a little bit, doesn't it?
It's just catchy enough to get stuck in your head. And I wish I could find the original instrumental, just so I could sit there and go, dun 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 dun. Also, one of those commercials made me wonder, is Al Snow getting a DVD?
I'm not sure, actually. Actually, he was nice enough to
do
the show. I think we can send him anything at this point.
Yeah, really. Al, you were such a great guy. Thanks for coming by. Someone photoshopped you holding this sign, and since no one else entered, we figured we'd send you a DVD.
No, but that's the Al Snow interview, and yeah, it's a great, you know, great interview here. You know, first one for my reign here as a host on WTR. It's in the archives over at wildtalkradio.com. Go take a listen. You've also got the Rob Van Dam interview, which I freaking loved.
If you ever wanted to hear Omega stifle his marking, that would be the interview to listen to.
I made a friend of mine jealous as hell when I told him I actually interviewed Rob Van Dam.
You made the entire WTR jealous. What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. That was my moment. I'm the mark for RVD. That was all mine. But we have more interviews to come. Stay tuned. We'll be announcing them as they are confirmed.
I was totally hoping someone would ask him about his ability to bounce like rubber when he takes bumps.
Well, I did bring up that one of the things I really appreciate about him was how good he can sell his moves and how important that was to his wrestling ability.
Well,
because I remember, you know, because you do remember like Tommy Dreamer's DDT or pile driver in ECW where he bounced 3 feet off the mat from his head.
Exactly, that's what I was going to bring up. The two most memorable bumps I remember of RVD's was the Tommy Dreamer pile driver to the moon, and during the Alliance angle, during the whole angle between, Angle Austin and RVD was RVD took a stunner where his body was more or less horizontal when Austin hit the mat. So RVD wasn't even touching the ground, and it was like, oh my God, he just broke his neck. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
I stand by the comment that RVD could have a match with a blow up doll, and people would go out saying the blow up doll had the best match of the night.
Yeah, really. Oh, and Untold Aussie, the RKO where RVD landed on his face.
Oh yeah.
Man, that guy is amazing.
Uh huh. So go listen to the interview. Anyway, we had a pay per view. And we're only halfway through it.
Right. Recovering from the bash. Remember, phone lines are open. I've been having trouble with the phone number. I do believe it is 267-297-1397.
There you go.
I've not had to call it in so long because I don't have a phone. But that is the number. We will appreciate your calls. And let's get back to the first decent bash in WWE history.
And speaking of which, we're going into the women's match.
Piss break.
Melina versus Michelle McCool for the WWE Women's Championship. To be fair here, Melina has progressed a long way since she first came in.
Right, and Melina, she's definitely something that the women's division on either brand needs, but I'm not a real big fan of McCool.
No, not really.
She's got a bad haircut. I can't explain it. It's just like you see her and you go, ugh.
But supposedly she's in bed with Undertaker, so she gets whatever she wants.
Oh, Undertaker's one of the, you know, he is the locker room leader of whatever brand he's on. Of course, if you're banging the Undertaker, you're getting perks.
Oh yeah. You're getting Tombstone, then you get whatever you want.
Wow. Beautiful.
Same position.
Of course, another...
You know,
yeah, it is. That would take a lot of stamina.
69 pile driver.
Oh, man, those are some images that just... Ooh, brutal. Anyways,
welcome to the show. That,
right. Thing that annoys me about the women's title being on SmackDown is that Gail Kim is on SmackDown. And that annoys me because I want to see Gail Kim win the Divas title so that she can have been like the Triple Crown women's champion between WWE and TNA.
Right.
But instead, we got McCool.
Well, I will put up with any belt they hand off to Gail Kim because she's probably the best wrestler they've got. Except they don't use her very well right now.
Right. Go on. Sorry.
Let me restate that. They don't use her right now.
Well, now that we have a heel as the women's champion on SmackDown, we might see Gail Kim start to get her her tiny Asian ass out there. Which I would love to see. It saddens me so much because the WWE has women that can wrestle, and they don't use them.
I've seen her tits. Can't help you with the ass, but...
I've seen them too.
They're nice.
Yes, they are. This show isn't about tiny Asian or wonderful Asian tits.
Despite the protests and the constant letters I'm writing to the producer.
Right. If this could be a show about Asian breast, wonderful. Who wouldn't be calling it?
But women topless and ready.
But see, yeah, so if you didn't catch it yet, McCool is your new WWE Women's Champ.
Yeah, and sadly enough, she was noted as the first to hold Diva and Women's Championship titles.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate that she is now a landmark in history.
I know, right? Just wait for Gail Kim. Come on, Gail. So of course, WWE won't acknowledge it, but that's why we're fans.
Right. So should we move on to a match that was pretty good?
Right, this is the one where the pay-per-view started to pick up again.
Yeah, but it's also one where we started with the bullshit ending. So...
Well, I'll get to the bullshit ending when
we will
get there.
Yeah, we will get there. WWE World Heavyweight Championship match, CM Punk defending against Jeff Hardy. And this is where CM Punk is full-blown heel.
Right. For those who don't know, CM Punk retained the championship. However, Jeff Hardy won by disqualification.
Ugh.
Now, hear me out here. Here's why I think it works. They have been doing a slow burn on Punk's heel turn, which I like. I don't like that most heel turns are just all of a sudden, I'm angry. I'm going to beat up all my friends. You know, it's just, it's not believable. With Punk, they set it up with Punk's first promo when he won the World Heavyweight Championship from Jeff Hardy at the last pay-per-view. He came out, and in his promo, he said, "It doesn't say anywhere in the contract that I can cash in against anybody except Jeff Hardy."
Right.
And that it just set it up because it started the fuse after he beat Hardy. And it's been burning slowly, and it's getting to that explosives at the end of the line where we're going to see, hopefully, a very well-done Punk heel. And why I think this ending was perfect, despite being very unpopular, is it continued to solidify Punk as the crafty asshole heel, the conceited, better-than-you character that was so popular in Ring of Honor. It showed that, like, because there was the false ending where it looked like Hardy had won the championship, which I only heard it, so I'm going, what? They gave it to Hardy? Which I partly marked out, and I partly was sad because I enjoyed both Punk and Hardy. And then I heard, no, his foot was under the ropes, and I went, oh, yes. Because I was hoping for that explosive ending, and while it wasn't explosive, it did what it needed to do.
The
only reason it's so unpopular is because it's used so often.
Well, directly attacking the referee, I will admit I haven't seen in a while to cause a DQ.
Right, and you know, he was like, oh, I'm blind, punch, or kick.
Oh, yeah, well, it screams of, I don't know how to win or get out of this, so I'm just going to boot the referee.
That is the only problem.
Yeah, because it's not an ending for a conceited or intelligent heel. It's more a tactic of, I'm completely out of shit that I can do to try to beat this guy, so I'm just going to get myself out as quickly as possible. Which is a good... It's going to rematch. It's going to rematch at the next pay-per-view. You know it is. And they're going to stick on the no DQ stipulation.
Well, the reason I think it worked, despite wanting a conceited, intelligent heel Punk, is that he had already almost lost the match.
Right.
And most heels covet the championship more than anything else. So what it was Punk going, that was too close for comfort, let's get out of this.
Right. Yeah,
it wasn't
it's
like
almost,
when
it's almost consenting. Okay, he had me beat. I'm too far down here.
Yeah, I'm gonna screw him out of it and show that I've I know how to keep this belt.
Yeah, it's that little.
It's not like when Orton did it to Batista. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like when Orton did it.
Well, Orton doing it is being a dick.
Right, but it was still it was
just being desperate.
But that plays into my point is we just seen it last month too, at Judgment Day.
Yeah, that's true too.
But sorry for keep talking over you.
Oh, don't worry about it. But yeah, this is the first match between the two. The two work very well together. It was a good match. I really look forward to the rematch. You know it's gonna be a cage match or a no DQ or whatever stipulation that's gonna keep Punk from doing the same shit.
And that's Jeff just getting really, really stressed out too.
Yeah.
Because he kicked Punk's ass.
Yeah, that's just
Punk was like, "All right, I got out of it," and Hardy said, "I'm going to kill you."
Oh yeah. So the rematch is pretty much a setup for the rematch, which should be really good. I don't know if you should sacrifice this match just to set it up, but that's storyline. That's how things go.
Right. It was more of a TV ending, I will admit, but we are talking about the WWE.
Yeah, this is true.
But I'm sure there's a certain somebody on that roster that loves the dusty finish. I wonder who.
Oh, but that's classic at that point. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got what you pay for. It's a decent match with a kind of crap ending.
Right, but at least we know that SmackDown will finally stop being that second show that you just go, oh, SmackDown's on?
Well, it's not going to be the Edge show anymore.
Right, thank God.
Yeah.
I like Edge, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, do something new.
Which they did.
Yeah, I actually would not mind if they tried him as a face again. I mean, it'd be a really hard build-up because he's been such a douchebag for the last few years. But he definitely needs a change, and SmackDown is definitely low on top faces.
What I want to see is the return of Edge and Christian.
Nah, I'm not a fan
of
that
idea. Hey, I can hope, right?
Well,
I can hope.
It's WWE, it'll probably happen eventually, but to go back to that would be such a step in the wrong direction for both of them. They've both been world champions now. They both elevated to the point where tag teaming again, going back to what they did in the Attitude Era, it doesn't really help either one.
Well, I think if they were to do it, it would be worked differently. It would be like kind of like how DX was. These are two established main event guys, but they're best friends, you know?
Yeah, they're brothers is what they are.
Well, Edge and Christian. I was talking about DX.
Yeah, that.
But, yeah, you see what I mean. But I am glad that when Christian won the ECW title, they had that little confrontation.
Yeah, that was cool. I really like that
one. It shows that WWE can remember that there is history between or beyond 6 months ago.
Hopefully they do something. I can see them doing something later on once both of them are on the same side of the fence. And that's originally what they were going to do originally, and I was kind of glad to hear that it fell apart.
Yeah, at first I was like, really? Aww. But it gave both Matt and Jeff the chance to get away from each other again and start and continue their singles careers. And of course, Matt Winton got injured. He's got such bad luck. He's always been the safer of the two Hardys, and he's the one that gets injured the most.
Yeah.
It is so depressing. But that's life. So again, Punk, still your world champion. However, Jeff Hardy won by DQ.
Mm-hmm. And obvious rematch coming soon.
Woo! And that leads us... Oh, boy. What was that?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I forgot about that.
What?
Match number 7, going back to my point of why the hell is this on a pay-per-view? John Cena versus The Miz.
Oh, I forgot about this match, too. I was ready to jump to the main event. Oops.
See, you got to pay attention here. It was pretty short. I mean, it was a TV-length match. And it pretty much went the way you'd expect.
This match was everything it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, on pay-per-view.
On pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Miz's chance to be credible. He worked wonderfully with Morrison, and he's really come a long way since the annoying prick who couldn't remember his lines during the Divas search. And what happened? He got squashed by the Wonder Boy.
No, it wasn't too much of a squash. He got in some good offense, but it was like a typical WWE television match like you'd see on Raw. You know, where Cena's invincible to start with. One thing happens that puts Miz in control. And then suddenly Cena comes out of it and gets a quick 1-2-3 in very dominant fashion.
It was really disappointing because I wanted to see Miz go over.
Miz, I'm surprised with. I mean, I knew Morrison had the ability to become a star when they split this tag team. I thought Miz was going to be the Owen Hart or the Christian or the Matt Hardy of the tag team. And just
the
never,
Martin Jannetty.
Or the Jim Neidhart. Where they just never quite got to the point where the other half of the tag team got to.
Right.
But he's really come into his own lately. I mean, I've been really impressed with how he's developed.
It really surprised me. I'm a fan. I'll say it flat out. I am a fan of The Miz. And the way he was doing, it was very Jericho-esque. The way he was doing the 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 against John Cena, where he would call him out knowing he's injured, and he would start getting forfeit victories and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if Miz was to go over, it shouldn't have been clean. It should have been cheating. It should have been a count out. It should have been a DQ, something like that. But
remember here, there was more than just a win over John Cena here. There was pussy.
What?
Remember, that's a storyline on Raw. Miz is trying to get into the pants of one of the random divas that I can never remember the name of. Maurice. I thought it was Maurice.
Has it been Maurice? I've only been paying attention to him, not at all sucking. You know, his entertaining bit.
Yeah. Well, these are like backstage segments where he's been trying to get into Maurice's pants. And apparently, not satisfied with basically doing nothing against Cena. So he was going after a legitimate win so he can get into bed.
Why Maurice? Why not Mickie James?
Because Mickie James is intelligent.
Why not Beth Phoenix. I mean, good God. I'd let her manhandle me any day.
Oh, she's on the rebound from her she-male boyfriend.
That's for Misk. Get in. Rebound sex. Come on. Go, Miz. You know she's got to be into kinky stuff.
Yeah, look how long she put up with the dress.
But that may be pushing it too far. I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
Well, you've heard my show, right?
This is true. This is true.
I can go a lot further, but I figure that wouldn't be appreciated here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, we just have a slight amount of taste here. Not much, but...
$35 for a squash match. Damn it.
Okay, apparently I have to tell you Mickey in yellow.
No.
I don't even know the
dude,
context.
Dude, you don't understand.
You're
you
right,
don't understand.
I don't think I want to.
Have you seen Mickey James' ass in yellow?
No. I have a feeling I need to.
You need to. But we'll leave it at that. You're probably going to YouTube. Where can I find a match for she's in yellow?
Oh, I love Google.
Oh, Google. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be now, distracted for a few minutes, so we're going to take a break.
Now they're
right
talking
now.
About porn in the chat. Look what we've done.
See, we just kind of mention your show. We don't even name it, and it just degenerates.
I'm sorry.
So, I'm going to go look up Mickey James' ass in yellow.
Whatever you find, send it to me.
Yeah, I'm going
to... Or send it to Rock. He'll send it to me.
I'm going to be distracted for a few minutes, so we're going to take a break here. When we
I'm
come
sorry.
Back, don't apologize. I'm lonely tonight. I needed something anyway. We are going to go into the main event as soon as we get back. So you are listening to WTR Sunday Night. We are almost done with the Great American Bash. Stay tuned for the main event.
Oh, yellow.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Mondays, 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air, join me, Maverick, on Running the Ropes. I give you wrestling talk as realistic as my imagination allows. I also give you wrestling news and opinions from all over the spectrum, including WWE, TNA, and the local NorCal indie scene. All this and much more on the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area. Running the Ropes busts out of the college level and into your home through the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. The evolution of online entertainment.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spud...
What's your name, scumbag?
...and Deal...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
...go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
At ease.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogi, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Passionate.
Jackass.
Knowledgeable.
Doesn't my brilliance astound you?
Entertaining.
A witness to greatness.
All words that describe the man known by two little letters, TK. every Tuesday night, the internet airwaves will never be the same again. When TK begins his tirade, live from Scorchers in Medina, covering everything from Cleveland Browns football to the Ohio State Buckeyes and everything else going on in the world of sports. Join TK for his tirade, starting 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Brock is such an awesome producer.
he always knows just what to play. I will give him that.
So, did you find what we were talking about before the break?
Mickey blew something more than my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that's an homage to the Spud guy, a little porno talk.
All right, we've got a show to do.
Oh, yeah, not 1 o'clock yet. All right. I'm sorry. I saw Mickey Yellow Ass.
I told you.
I got ahead of myself. Okay, so we actually have one last match to cover.
So many innuendos, so little time.
In her endos.
Oh.
Anyway.
Can't believe this is what we got finished.
I just wanted to call in and say, oh my god, Mickey's wearing yellow. And you say EWA a lot.
Like I said, he always knows just what to play.
Brock, I hate you. But now we've got to bring the tone of the show down because our main event...
From a fine ass to an asshole.
Right.
Randy Orton versus Triple H, 3 stages of hell.
So what was this, their 7th match?
I'm losing track at this point.
And technically, it was 3 matches. So this is their 7th, 8th, and 9th.
No, technically, it was supposed to be 3 matches. Technically, it was only 1. Because this match had no business being 3 stages of hell because of the way they booked the first 2.
If it was on TV, it would have been good, because I liked, for the story, I liked the way they did it. This would have been perfect on TV, because Triple H, Cerebral Assassin, he's always that guy who fucks with your mind. And what Triple H does in the first fall, which was a standard wrestling match, is he gets himself disqualified. Now, that does put Orton up 1. But he got himself disqualified by beating the shit out of Orton with a steel chair. This gives Triple H the chance to go up 1-1 by getting an easy pinfall in the second match, leaving the rest of the match to be the tiebreaker, the match it always goes to, and this time it was the stretcher match, which... Not my favorite of matches.
But here's my problem with it. You could have taken out those first two falls and just played this match the exact same way, and if you called it a stretcher match, it wouldn't have been any different. I mean, I understand they wanted to go for this, he's given up the first fall so he can win the second one easily. Well, then you've just thrown both of the first two matches completely out the window.
Right. Again, I say it would have been better as a TV match.
I just think it would have been better. Like, Three Stages of Hell is supposed to be this really intense, really grueling concept, and then you simplify it down to where it was basically a stretcher match with a couple pinfalls before that.
Right. And really, when you think Hell, you don't think stretcher match.
Yeah.
And they even referenced it. Cole referenced it. The other two Three Stages of Hells, both were classics. Stone Cold and Triple H at No Way Out in 2001, and Shawn Michaels and Triple H at Armageddon. And what year did Shawn Michaels? It was 2003, wasn't it? The year Shawn Michaels won the world's title.
You're asking me to remember shit again.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, yeah, my point is, O2? All right.
O2.
I wasn't sure. And, stretcher match. God damn. And it was the main event. This was the main event. A stretcher match.
See, I've got no problem with a stretcher match. Just like I said, I don't think it should have been stuck at the end of these other two matches. I mean, I think if you're going to play it out that way, just call it a stretcher match from the start. Don't make me expect something and then throw it out the window.
Right. And I guess they're just running out of gimmicks for Triple H and Randy Orton.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. They're going to have to start dipping into WCW gimmick matches at this point.
Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
It's a cage on a cage on a cage.
Oh, come on. I would pay to see that. I missed the triple tier cage.
Yeah. Okay. To be fair, that was a little bit different. It's kind of crap with only two people in it, but
it's kind of crap with David Arquette in it.
Yeah, but what career does he have these days?
Yeah. If Vince is going to take old WCW gimmicks, like the Bash, why didn't he take that one?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, come on. Three cages. A really big-ass cage. How can you go wrong? Just have someone fall off the top of it and we're good.
Unless
the Canyon?
Or Foley, or Rikishi, or anyone who's taken a nice big fall for our amusement.
Or, if you really prefer, Kurt Angle jumping off.
Yeah, here, Angle. You see that tall thing? Backflip off of it.
Alright.
Trust me, it'll be great.
Hey, Jeff, go jump off that.
Or Shane. Shane gets the same kind of matches.
Shane, yeah. But just they didn't use it all in the Orton feud.
Right.
Shane jumped off nothing.
Yeah, I always said Shane can't win a match unless he's got something 20 feet tall to climb.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And even then, he still loses sometimes.
Yeah. Since we're a mile off topic here.
Yeah, topics.
Yeah. See, it was a decent match, but then again, it's Orton and Triple H again, so I can really care less at that point. I've seen it.
Right.
There isn't much new they could do. See, if I was...
How many times can you... Sorry.
See, if you're really Triple H and you are the cerebral assassin and you really want to screw Randy over on this one, you take him to the top of the ramp, you haul the stretcher up there, then you beat the shit out of him with a steel chair. You throw him on the stretcher, you pin him for false count anywhere, and then you just shove the stretcher over the line. And you just won two falls in 10 seconds.
That's logic.
Yeah, unfortunately, logic doesn't go well with WWE writing.
And the only thing Triple H is good at when it comes to being logical is conveniently play sledgehammers.
Yeah, there's a dumbest thing. Okay, I know I'm going to need a sledgehammer right here. if Randy Orton, like, hits the ramp with, like, a suplex or power bomb, and, like, six hammers fall off the sides that were just conveniently hidden all over. Yeah, just a thing.
It's a button.
Yeah,
it's a button. It's raining sledgehammers.
It's like a Batman utility belt. Just wherever he needs the sledgehammer, that's where a little spring loader flips it up. So you just imagine him going to, like, Home Depot just before the match, and, like, 3 p.m., they just set up the ramp and the mat, and they're just, and he's, like, walking around with this big shopping cart full of sledgehammers and just kind of, like, sliding one in, one under the side of the ring, one under that side of the ring, and
might end
over,
up here.
I'll hide one under the announcer's booth just in case.
We might use a table. I'll just conveniently clip this one to the bottom of a table.
Here, I'll tape this to the back of the giant screen just in case.
Put this one in JR's hat.
Put this one in with Mark Henry's lunch. It'll go down in one bite. It'll go down in one piece. I'll get it back in one piece.
I'll get it back in a few hours. What I want to see is, like, Triple H go James Bond with the sledgehammers. Like a scene out of The Man with the Golden Gun. Oh, crap. I love this villain. Why is his name blanking from my memory? Scaramanga. You know how his gun is like a cigarette pack and a pen and a bunch of other stuff when he takes it apart? That's what Triple H needs to do with his sledgehammers.
See, what I wanted to do is, like, have that old Attitude Era jacket he used to wear. You know, like the leather jacket with the denim vest over it. And just have, like, a collapsible sledgehammer, like, hidden in one side of it. So just, like, pull out, flip the handle down.
He opens either side of the jacket, and they're just hanging from rows. What are you buying?
Yeah.
And take a look at the chat.
It walks down to the ring like a hardware store.
Yeah, take a look at the chat. I think that's a joke you can appreciate.
Oh!
That's right. Sledgehammer between Lita's legs.
Oh, jeez. That area gets hammered hard enough as it is, okay?
How convenient, or not convenient, but how coincidental is it that Vince McMahon once referred to himself as the genetic jackhammer, and his son-in-law favors the sledgehammer?
Well, that's just how it's going to go. I mean, when one of Triple H's kids gets into wrestling, they're just going to go into perceiving different types of hammers. Like, one will prefer a claw hammer, and the other one will prefer, like, a pneumatic hammer. And then you'll
James Kidd will prefer MC Hammer.
That was the next one in line. Damn you.
I'm sorry. I wanted to get it first. Great minds, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It would get them exposure. It's not getting any of that nowadays.
Yeah, MC Hammer, you want a job? Okay, you just have to run out and club people. Yes, and bring the genie pants.
Oh. He's going to hammer slide down to the ramp. It would have been great if they still had Scotty Too High and Rikishi and all them.
Oh, God.
He's a celebrity guest. He's sitting in the front row. He's wearing the stupid pajama pants or parachute pants. Rikishi and Too Cool win the match. And they're like, oh, man, let's get MC Hammer up in this ring. And then he gets up in there. He's going, oh. And he's taking the spotlight. And then Rikishi just sticks his ass in the face.
Well, apparently Rikishi's getting too fat to wrestle very well. Don't know what happened to Scotty. And Brian Lawler, formerly known as Grandmaster Sexton, just got arrested.
Jerry's so proud.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Rikishi almost had a comeback in TNA, but he wanted more money than he's worth.
Oh, he wanted more money, and he wanted to continue to look like a bunch of burned Crisco.
And I'm so sad Scotty got fired, too.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. He was always great at the house shows, because it's like, man, he's still not dead yet. He's still not killed himself.
It was nice just because even though he was a jobber, he always had enough credibility for the fans to always like him.
Right. So he was one of those guys that was so over, he could lose every match and he would still be over.
Oh, yeah. We go off topic here.
Well, that's natural conversation. What do you expect? I mean, when it's Randy Orton and Triple H, what else can you say?
Yeah.
Well, we could say who won the match.
Yeah, well, that would be handy considering we're supposed to be covering the damn match. Apparently, despite Rhodes and DiBiase going off on Randy Orton over, we're not your lackey, we're not your lackey, we're not here to do that. They were there to do that. And they came out and they took turns sneak attacking Triple H until Orton knocked him out, threw him on the stretcher, and shoved him the 3 feet over the line that he had to go.
Until Triple H killed them both with a sledgehammer.
See, that's the one thing I don't like about a stretcher match is that Triple H shoved Orton all the way up, or is it the other way around? I can't even remember at this point.
I don't remember either. All I know is there's a lot at the top.
Yeah,
Triple H did all the work.
Oh yeah, Triple H was on the stretcher. Orton shoved him all the way up the ramp. You know, that's not easy to do. But you can just have the stretcher right there and then just glide him over the line.
Well, it doesn't help when the stretcher comes down the ramp and hits you.
Well, you got to think of it. It's either, just shove them uphill for about 70, 80 feet, or gently glide them 3 feet.
Right, but that was
if you don't get them all the way up the ramp, disqualify it. You know, send the stretcher back down. Tough shit.
It'll be like a half-court basketball.
Yeah. Well, the idea here is the whole point of a stretcher match is you have him down on the stretcher long enough to get him past this yellow line. To technically, at least wheel him most of the way out of the arena.
Right.
So it would be nice, if it's just like some kind of qualification to where it was that hard no matter what point of the match you tried that on. It should be an accomplishment, not just a, the stretcher's right here, shove.
Yeah, really. It's kind of like how the Ultimate X match has the one rule, which is don't use a ladder to win the match. This is what that should be. You should have to push them all the way up.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be a distance requirement.
Yeah, and see, the way they could have done it was Legacy comes out, Triple H kills him with sledgehammers, Orton kills Triple H, Orton's trying to get up there, Legacy gets up off their asses finally, and then they all get Triple H up there. Something to say, look, haha, we did it really quick because we had three people pushing up stretcher.
Right, right. Okay, so I've talked as much Orton and Triple H as I can tolerate because it's about the eighth or ninth time I've done it.
Yeah. So, and by the way, just for clarity, Orton won.
Yeah. Still WWE champion.
Which is final good.
Thought,
I mean,
yeah, final thoughts. You have a letter grade for this pay-per-view you heard? How did it sound?
I have to hear it. I really got to try and... it depends on the announce team. Cole and King? Because, you know, JR, he can still call a match, you know. Mm-hmm. He tells a story, but he calls a match. And Stryker, he's a great color guy. I wish they'd let him call a bit more. But from what I heard, it sounded like it was the first bash not to consistently suck.
Right.
And all things considered, I think I'll give it... had some dull spots. I'll say a B-.
Now, see, I was going B- for a while, but just as I think about the event more and more, between all the matches we've seen before and the matches that didn't belong on a pay-per-view card, it was the first bash that didn't suck, but it didn't do much for me either, so I'm giving it a C+.
Yeah, that's about where mine is, B-, C+. Probably like the lowest B- you can get.
Yeah, a low B- if that was possible.
Yeah, it's that B- you get when you're trying to get extra credit.
It's the B- when you filled out a little extra credit to keep your parents from whipping your ass.
Yeah.
So I think that is...
God, we're going to see him do it next week, or next pay-per-view.
So I think we are done with the mediocre, un-American bash.
The great Canadian bash.
The Canadian bash. Oh, well, the Canadians came out on top, and fine, anyway. So that is all... that is all for us here on WTR Sunday Night. Keep in mind, next week is the TNA show with Nick and Mace, 10 p.m. Eastern. Those guys do a good job over there.
There will be
the other half of the wrestling, so take a listen to that.
Right, and they won't be booted by interview this time.
Yeah, they will actually be on the air this time because we have not lined up a superstar.
So their notes, guys, take them. They'll be useful.
Yes, because you actually
planned
this.
I kind of felt bad
stuff.
For them. They were like, I know, I felt kind of bad for them. They were like, we had 3 pages of notes.
You can get 3 pages of notes on TNA? Oh, anyway.
Oh.
Oh, I kid.
Apparently Nick says the 98 bash was good, but that was still ooh, wait, when was 98?
Oh, no, 98 was WCW.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to. I was like, wait, because it all kind of blends in at one point.
Oh yeah. So, all right, we're out of here. Check out the website, wildtalkradio.com. Take a look at the schedule. There are shows running all week long, including cigarette butts and bandanas, somewhere around 12-ish Saturday nights. And Otaku Talk Live
somewhere around there.
Yeah, Otaku Talk Live coming up this Tuesday, 10:30 or 11, actually 11 p.m. because we pushed it back because we were always late anyway.
It'll be all about MetroCon this week.
Yeah, my convention trips.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope if my internet holds out this week. Damn, goddamn Comcast. So take a listen and. Tune in next week for the TNA show. Until then, I am Omega. That was Will. This is WTR Sunday Night. Thank you very much for tuning in. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Can't touch this. Look, man. Can't touch this. Yeah.
You better get hype, boy, cause you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.